Morning, everyone. For those of you who haven't met me before, my name is Kaylee. I first attended this church many, many moons ago when I was dragged here by my mum as a teenager and thought that I'd been put off God and faith forever. Turns out God had different plans. And I gave my life to Christ here 11 years ago, 11, 12, something along those lines. It's all been a bit of a roller coaster ever since. And my husband Jake and I were called into a new ministry in Feltham, into a church plant there, to serve where we can there. And that was just before COVID, so about 3 or 4 years ago. But I love coming back here because this is the family where I went from being a baby Christian to a half-mature one. So that's just a little bit about me. So in light of that, shall we pray? And then we can get going. Jesus, take the wheel. You know what you're doing, even if I don't. Amen. Okay, so let's hope this works. Brilliant. So we were formed 6.5 years ago around Sue's kitchen table, but we'll go into that a little bit more in a bit. But it's really important that we reintroduce ourselves today. LVA looks a lot different to what it did when we were birthed 6.5 years ago out of this place. Our objectives are still the same, but our delivery looks slightly different. And our objectives are that we exist to promote and protect the good mental, physical, and emotional health of school-aged children by the provision of education and training in self-esteem, healthy relationships, and sexual health. And this is our story so far. So Sue and I, we had some connections with a different charity that we both had slightly different roles in, but we really formed our friendship in the mother and baby groups here. And I think that relationship was stamped when we both started volunteering for Riverbank at Little Splashes. And we started to meet and we just both realised that we were super passionate about young people in our area getting quality, holistic, inclusive relationship and sex education formed with Jesus at the centre. And so we both took a risk. I quit my job and Sue had to put up with me. So I feel like the risks were equal. The Bible verse that LVA was founded upon is 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. But the whole of that Bible reading that we've just read is just everything that we want to encompass at LVA. It is what we're built upon. And the rest is history. We got our charity number on my 30th birthday in the morning. So we took that as God's blessing and favour and ran with it. And we were working with 6 schools within the first year, amazingly. And this is where we are now. So we're working with 21 schools and counting, delivering workshops, assemblies and small groups, also delivering LVA's therapeutic mentoring program that we finished developing last year, as well as supporting parents and doing some teacher training and a bit of youth work as well, because apparently the rest wasn't enough. And this all looks brilliant, and it is brilliant, and God is good. He has provided everything we need, always, but it's not without its challenges. As some of you will know that I won't bore you with again, I've had some challenges over the past couple of years with one of my daughter's mental ill health, and I questioned whether I was the right person to take LVA into its next phase of growth. I didn't feel equipped. I didn't feel like I was the right person. I didn't feel like I had the skills or knowledge to do with LVA what God really wanted to do with it. So we went on this long, arduous journey of trying to find a new CEO. But after some chats with Mandy and with Sue, apparently that's not what everyone else thought. So I went to God and I had to do some surrendering and some searching. And it was my own insecurity that was trying to remove the anointing God had for me in this season. So I decided that I would trust God to equip me. And I have stayed on as CEO with the blessing, hopefully, of the rest of the team. Time will tell, hey. He doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called, right? And I, even 6.5 years later, I still very much fit into that category. He is still equipping me every single morning. Since I've made that decision, I've also started an executive MBA at Cranfield University, because again, it's just not enough that I do everything I already do. This is my grandson, one of them. Isn't he gorgeous? Love him. Lots going on for us. We have quite a lot of challenges at the moment. So the demand for our services is at an all-time high. But the double-edged sword of this is that funding for RSE educators and external organisations like us is actually becoming harder and harder to come by as grant makers and local authorities change their strategies, especially as we hit the cost of living crisis. And also because the Department for Education made RSE compulsory, So grant makers and local authorities, they expect that schools will now fund this, even though it is advised that schools use external organisations such as ourselves. They have been given no money for it, obviously. They're just expected to make the money come from other departments. And as you know, that's not really going to happen in terms of budgets being stretched already. So although schools value us, they really want us in to do the work, they cannot afford to pay for our services in full. They do what they can, but they just cannot afford it. So therefore, we work with the schools to do the best we can. But Sue and I always agreed that we would never turn a school or a young person down on the basis that they did not have the money for our services. And that, again, that's why we're a charity and not a business, because we want to reach those who maybe not be reachable if they couldn't afford what we offer. We also have a mentoring program as well as our youth work, and I'm going to break all of those things down before I start begging and borrowing and pleading for your time, talent and treasure. Just preparing you for that one. I'm going to do it shamelessly, by the way. Okay, so we operate in three different ways. We have our RSE, so our relationship and sex education, our mentoring and our youth work. And encompassing all of this is our desire to draw the adult community, especially those who have an identity as being part of the village. In that first reading, we read about Jesus going into towns and villages, and that we... I love the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. I don't believe we quite know how to do that in the way that we live in our society very well, but I feel like we want to. I feel like we yearn to have this village mentality, but we're not quite sure how to get there. And part of what Mandy and I really want to do in this next season of LVA is create a space where we can do the village really well. So that's what we're focused on growing over the next year. But this is our RSE work. So, Our RSE is delivered in three ways: through assemblies, through classroom workshops, and through small group work. Workshops are actually my favourite. I actually love doing the classroom workshop stuff. I was in Christ the other day and we was doing emotional wellbeing in there. One of the young people walked in and went, oh, LVA, oh, more like LVA. And honestly, I was just like, yeah. Brought me so much joy. I don't normally enjoy delivering the emotional well-being stuff. I'm more of a let's talk about porn and consent and coercion kind of gal. But, you know, that really spurred me on to do really well in that lesson. Here are some of the topics that we cover. Our programme isn't set in stone. Again, it's very mouldable. RSE, when people say relationship and sex education, I feel like people go straight to, like, let's stop sexually transmitted infections and unplanned pregnancies. And honestly, that's probably about this much of what we do. That stuff is very important. It is very important, especially post-COVID, because the diagnosis rate is down, but you know, the infection rate is not, by looking at some of the statistics. But it's literally this much of what we do. We deliver sessions according to each school's community, what they need, how mature their students are, and ensure that every session we deliver is age appropriate and culturally appropriate for every school that we work in. But why is this work important? That's a lot of writing. So if you can read that, congratulations. I'm going to read some of those statistics out. If you are a parent or care for a young person in this audience, this is a particular statistic that I would like to draw you to. 75% of surveyed parents believe their children had never encountered porn. 53% of their children had, in fact, seen porn. So just want to let that sink in just a little bit, because if you're anything like me, even though I do the job that I do, I still believe that my children have not encountered any of this stuff. Because that's what I want to believe. But the reality is actually they probably have seen quite a bit of this, and they've probably been sent stuff that they don't want to see. And, you know, that it's the way of the world. 18-year-old males who frequently consume porn are more likely to have sold and bought sex than other males of the same age. And 70% of Christian youth pastors report that they had at least one teen approach them in the past 12 months for help dealing with porn addiction. And of domestic minor trafficking victims who had been forced into porn production, the average age they began filming was 12.8 years old. Our work is safeguarding. We are safeguarding our young people. When we go in and talk about this, we're not introducing them to anything they don't already know exists. Sadly, that's the reality of the situation that we're in. But what we're doing is we're facilitating a safe space where young people can actually talk about this with adults who are actually there, not to judge them, not to tell them what they should and shouldn't do, but actually, why is this a problem? Do you think it's a problem? Is this something that's going to help you form a healthy sexual relationship going forward? Do you want a relationship that's fulfilling emotionally and physically? Because watching pornography is not going to provide you with that. These are the conversations that need to be had, because they're teenagers. They've got all sorts of sexual feelings running up and down and hormones flying everywhere. And where are they going to go if they need to explore? They're probably not their parents. And what's at their fingertips? Everything. So we have to create spaces where we can facilitate these conversations. The The most effective way to change behaviour and reduce trauma amongst our young people is to engage them at a level where they can take ownership of the challenges they face daily. And by equipping them with knowledge, empowering them with tools and skills, and encouraging them to stand together and be the change that they want to see, with the support of adults in the village, is the way forward, and I firmly believe that. And here are some testimonials from some of the young people that we have worked with. There we go, therapeutic mentoring, we're there, okay. The next thing is our therapeutic mentoring program. We are so, so proud of this program. And do have a look at the back. I think we, have we not got any? No? Okay. We can show you something or other along the lines of, we've got the parent pack. Anyway, we literally all put our heads together. All of our team have poured their hearts, their minds and their souls into this program. It's in the form of a workbook. It's over 20 weeks and it's based on being loved, valued and able. The loved module has been created based on LVA's core values. It's to help young people believe that they are loved, but not just by others, by themselves. We explore and support them to build healthy self-esteem and emotional well-being and develop self-care skills. And then having developed their self-esteem, we move on to valued. Now, as Jesus followers, we know that our value is in Christ. Well, at LVA, that translates into having value, finding our value and having value in our relationships in life. We are communal beings. We are made to be in community. And it's something that, obviously, relationships are at the heart of that. So throughout the valued module, we work around what it means to be in relationship, what's healthy about relationship, what are we looking for in relationships on and offline, and what is it like when things go wrong? What are some of the signs that we're looking for in terms of our own behaviour and the behaviour of those around us? What is not okay? And then we move on to our ABLE module, which is all about growth mindset, giving young people tools and skills to support their own emotional well-being and their own journey through life. And we send them off, hopefully, better equipped to deal with the world at hand. And, no, next one please, Barnaby. There we go. Why is this work needed? The fact that young people have stated that they would prefer not to go to a GP for help, for early help and support, and the fact that just over 1 in 3 young people with a diagnosable mental health conditions gets access to mental health care speaks for itself. This is not a joke. This is probably the area of our work where actually there is life-saving going on here. It's really preventative work. It's early support that's needed when young people are at the very start of spiraling. If we can get in there early enough, we can prevent things like suicide attempts and self-harm. And I speak from experience. Those of you who know me know that my own daughter attempted to end her life just over a year ago. She suffers with self-harm. She has an eating disorder, and she's been diagnosed autistic, all within the past 2 years. It's hard, and I'm not alone. I'm not even alone within LVA. I meet so many parents who are struggling with their young people right now. Parents to deal with some of this stuff, because I had all my experience of what I do at LVA, and I was still so alone. I was still so alone, so lost, so didn't have a clue. And, you know, thank the Lord that I know him. because if I didn't, I dread to think what I would have ended up as after the past couple of years. There is an epidemic of mental health amongst our young people. And CAMHS, so the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, they are asking frontline services and organisations like ours and our friends over at KIC to pick up the slack, basically. They can't handle the waiting list, so they're upping the thresholds because they don't have enough workers. Harvest is plenty. The workers are few. There is not enough people to meet the demand of the rising mental health crisis in our country. So we are being asked, but not funded, to reach young people as early as we possibly can. It is vital that young people are seen and heard in this way. And yes, we've got a programme and KIC's got a programme and there are so many other organisations with different programmes and I'm not taking away from those programmes, but I'll be honest with you, the most important thing that these kids get is being seen as they are, meeting them where they're at and giving them some half-decent advice along the way. Every single child matters and we do what we can, as do other organisations working in this area. But if we are going to break this toxic, I'm not sick enough to be seen loop, then we need to step out. We need to be that early help support and not simply rely on the professional services that are there for our, if you fancy having a rant about CAMHS, any parents in here, I'm your gal. Okay, I can go for days. But we need to step out as a church. We are the church. We are the disciples going into the villages and towns. We are the presence of Jesus and the essence of Jesus. We are the community. The community is not the building. And we were praying earlier, and I always had this vision of the church on fire. Well, this is where it gets ignited. But that's where it's outworked. Out there, in the community, whatever that looks like for you, whatever you're being called to do. If Jesus lives in you, then wherever you go, you're taking his essence and presence with you. Every day. And here are some of the testimonies from our young people. Quite often we get one that says, I now know how to manage my anger, which I really love that one because I personally have always struggled with outbursts of anger. Hopefully they're fewer and far between now. Mandy's used to my ranting. she's like my ranting person at LVA. I have a safe space now to do that without getting too many people annoyed. But yeah, giving people coping strategies to deal with an overwhelm of emotion is part of what we do. Okay, so moving on to youth work. Youth work is really important to us. It's currently undertaken by me. We did start up a space in Feltham Church, the church that Jake and I go to, and Jake, more than me, faithfully ran that for a year, but it didn't quite work out. We weren't quite able to get that really off the ground there, but Jake's had a massive impact on some of the young people there and is still, you know, working with a couple of them, which is just amazing. But at the moment, we're currently on the Meadows estate in Hounslow, which is a really big estate. And the Hope Church in Hounslow, their youth worker is Chris. I think he also works for KIC as well. And we support him on a Tuesday with his youth group, which is really, really fun. And I sit there and I do some work with the girls there. But I've also set up a space right in the heart of the estate, working with some girls there. And honestly, the door has just been flung open for us, and it is such a joy to work there. I mean, why not? You know, from musical statues to making Christmas cards. We've got quite a young cohort at the Ermine Centre there, but they are just such a joy and so eager. They're banging down the door every week, let us in, let us in. So they are just such a joy and I love them so, so much. But it's, again, this is quite a challenge because I shouldn't be doing this work. This should not be me who's doing it. We tried to hire a youth worker for 12 hours a week to come and take on this work, but it's quite tricky. The people challenge we have is quite hard at the moment. But I do enjoy it. I do love it. But it is extra to what I give LVA. So I do it as extra hours outside of my other LVA work because I believe in it so much and I believe in these young people so much. And it's the door is open there for, we're about to start a boys group there and we're already developing relationships with some parents on the estate. And there's real opportunity there to start forming parent support groups, parents who are lonely, isolated, need support, but have zero trust in the system. And I don't blame them for that, to be fair, I don't. But we have an open door there, and so do Hope Church. And actually working together with Hope Church in that community, with us being the kind of secular provision, but also having strong links to the church. We've got such a great opportunity to guide young people over to the church there. And we're all one big family. So that's just wonderful, a wonderful way of doing evangelism that we've never been able to do before. The Lord has commissioned us to do this work. And I do truly believe that. This work is so important to all of us. And I've shared a little bit about why it's so important to me. But even before that, I was a teenage mum. I was a horrid, horrid teenager. But I also had lots of horrid stuff happen to me as a child, which meant that as a teenager, I was completely lost and alone. And there was no safety net to catch me. And by the time that anyone in my family had got it together enough to create a safety net, I was there with the scissors ready to cut it. So that's why I'm so passionate about this work, because I have lived experience of it. And do you know what? Everyone at LVA has a story to tell of why they're so passionate about it. And I would really encourage you to talk to Sue or talk to Mandy and others that are involved with LVA. About what their why, because you will be inspired by them. But it's not without its difficulties. Too many times I have caught myself saying, what difference am I actually making? I ask, where are you in this, Jesus? You know, when a young person discloses to me that they've been sex trafficked, where are you in this, Jesus? Am I really serving your kingdom by doing this when I cannot sit there and openly pray for a young person who has just told me that they're self-harming? Really hard. Or when you see young people in your youth space knowing and seeing patterns of behaviour that trigger you because you see it, you see that that was behaviour that your mum did when you were young, and how do you deal with that? How do you have an impact there without becoming the system that they hate? It's hard. And I just say, Jesus, sometimes I do say, Jesus, what is the point? What is the point? For every one person that we have impact on, there are 100,000 just in this, I don't know, part of London alone who need our help. I can't do it. I just can't do it, God. And every time he meets me with the same answer. Yes, you can. You got me. Trust me. We've got this. One person at a time. One person at a time. Focus on the person, people in front of you. You've got this. I've equipped you. You'll do it. And begrudgingly, you know, I try and pull myself together. Some days better than others. But it is a tough line of work, but it is so rewarding. So, so rewarding. And I have so many stories that I won't bore you with. But yeah, we're there in the community doing what we can for the kingdom. Which brings us on to our parenting community. We do worship the God who goes after the one, and every child we encounter matters. Every child we encounter encounters the living Christ within us through our presence. Our job is to shine the light of the Lord in the world of darkness and plant seeds that we may never see grow. And to be fair, we actually don't see a lot of the growth, but we plant the seeds and we pray in faith. And one thing that we've really been praying and thinking about is parents. I'm a parent of older children, which means that I am extremely isolated in my parenting journey when it comes to people of my own age. As a 36-year-old woman, I probably shouldn't have two gorgeous grandchildren and a nearly 20-year-old daughter, but I do, and I love it, and oh my days, they're just so scrummy. I have a 17-year-old, I have a 15-year-old, and I have a 10-year-old, and I'm 36, and I'm out here just trying to parent. Does anyone, if you've got younger kids, you'll be part of like a mother and baby group, right? Great community, got so much in common. Can support each other, go out for coffee and moan about your toddlers. We'll wait till they get to teenagers. It's all great, but then your kid hits secondary school. It all just goes away. The community just literally falls away at your feet. And we all just get isolated in our own mess. And then we carry shame because our teenagers aren't quite, you know, going the path we had planned for them. So we cover that shame up. And we start to become inauthentic and tell everyone how awesome we are and how great our children are doing. We need to break that. We want to create the village. We want to encompass everything about it takes a village to raise a child at LVA. So we are doing a call for parents today, especially. We want to start forming support groups, and that's for parents of older children. We want to plant communities for parents and carers of older children, but we want to do a focus group of how we develop that material together and what that's going to look like. So if you are a parent of older children and you got a hint of, oh, let me see what that looks like. Or if you're coming into that phase of having older children and you want to have some input into and receive as well, talk to Mandy afterwards. She's so passionate about this work and she will talk you into it. Okay, so it does take a village to raise a child, and we have arrived at the ask. Can I just confess that this is like really awkward for me? I really hate asking for things. It's like that pride thing. But I have to do it because it's for the sake of LVA. So hopefully this will be a really helpful way of helping you find out how you can be part of the village. Firstly, we have time. Can you give us your time in prayer? If you're anything like me, when organisations like us get up here and put prayer first, you go, oh, they put prayer first. Good job. But we've seen prayer move mountains. I'll never forget that story, Catherine, where you went into Hampton High and you were viewing it, and one of the girls who had worked with LVA, and Catherine had been praying for our small group work in LVA, and she just happened to bump into a girl who had benefited from one of our small groups. And I just remember the encouragement that you felt, that your prayers were being heard in that place, and God's kindness in showing that to you. I'll never forget that. It's one of those Ebenezer moments that you just kind of hold on to. Prayer moves mountains at LVA, and if you want to dedicate prayer time to us, we will welcome you with open arms. We will give you a WhatsApp number. You can sign up to our newsletter so it can form how you pray for us. We only send it out 3 times a year. It is quite heavy in the information, but it's only three times a year. So it hopefully it will help guide you through each of the terms that we have. And then on top of prayer, could you be part of our focus group for parent support groups? Can you sign up after this service with no commitment other than to see what it's about? And mentoring, it's not for everybody. We've tried to use volunteer mentors, but the need is too great. We need to hire mentors in order to fulfill the need. And maybe you can give us a specific talent. We're looking for a safeguarding trustee at the moment, which, to be fair, is quite an easy job because we have an amazing safeguarding lead in the form of Lydia, and we're basically, safeguarding is what we do, so it's at the heart of LVA. Fancy becoming a relationship and sex education facilitator? If you have had any involvement in raising young people or supporting young people, you have 90% of the soft skills that you need in order to be an educator. The rest of the 10% will provide. And I can say that if you did want to or know someone who wants to join our team, they are the best. You will literally have the most fun ever. I never laugh so much as what I do as when I'm with the ladies. It's just the best thing in the world to do. I'm really privileged to do my job. If that's something that kind of feels like it might float your boat, then do talk to us. We are in serious need of a new educator. But another role that we have available as well that's about to go live is the role of a fundraiser. 12 hours a week paid. We need a fundraising lead to support Mandy so that she can do other operational stuff other than fill out forms and search for funding all the time. She really needs that support. So if you have any experience in form filling or fundraising skills at all, please do get in contact. And then finally, your earthly treasure. We are in a cost of living crisis, and it really pains me to ask people to give of their earthly treasure in a time where we're replacing heating for Christmas presents. Has anyone done that yet, by the way? Has anyone, when the kids have asked you to put the heating on, has anyone said who's sacrificing a Christmas present? I have. It's really fun. all of a sudden, they're toasty and warm. but yeah, I genuinely, wholeheartedly believe that it's not the amount you're giving, it's the act of the giving. God blesses the act. Like the woman, the poor widow, he blesses the act. If you give us a pound, well, you can literally double your pound at the moment. We're part of the big give. But he will double it, triple it. Anything that you can give to us to support us in our journey, God will bless it and make it work. Because it's not just the money you're giving us. It's you saying, I'm partnering with you. I'm partnering with you in this mission, with you and God in this mission to reach out to the most vulnerable people in our society. That's what that giving says. So if you can and you want to, please do. We're part of the big give until the 6th of December. And our target is £5,000. I'm hoping to be halfway there soon. But if we can reach that target of £5,000, does that £5,000 get doubled to 10? Or is that just that it will get to 5,000? Okay. So we want to reach 2,500. Okay, great. It's a very confusing way to give. If you want to partner with us more frequently, then please do give to us monthly. That helps us grow and plan. And on that note, I will pray. Thank you for hearing me. This was different to one of my usual talks, so it's quite hard for me to do. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity and privilege to be up here today, sharing our passions and our work with these wonderful people at HDR. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you will bless and provide for each and every one of us here. And I just thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this community here, for this family. In Jesus' name, amen.